Blog Talk Radio.
Live from the nation's capital, it's the Power of Poetics, the DC Poetry Project's open mic call-in show.
Sometimes in water, there is the sound, which is what we have found to be somewhat like love when concentrated with the correct color of black Kool-Aid. Perfect, imperfect. No sugar added.
All right. Good evening, everyone. My name is Michael Anthony Ingram. I'd like to welcome you to the Power of Poetics, and the voice you heard is someone whose name is anonymous, but the piece is entitled No Sugar Added. Again, I'd like to welcome you to our show, our weekly show, where we travel through the power of poetry to places that only our imaginations can build. We visit the good, bad, and indifferent of life, and through our poetic journey, we often find comfort, solace, truth, and celebration in our words. Tonight, we are very fortunate to have with us a very, very, very special guest. His name is Mr. Gary Malone. Mr. Malone, are you here?
I am. Hello, Mike. How are you tonight?
Hello, Gary. How are you, sir? I'd like to bring you greetings, as the gentleman stated, from the nation's capital, but I'd also like to send out greetings to all of our listeners around the world. So, again, thank you for tuning in to this very special show tonight. We're going to have Gary here sharing his poetry, speaking his truth. I'd like to share with the general audience that when I first heard Gary on our show, our very first show, he blew everyone away with his talent. Blew everybody away with his talent. And I had people stating to me, Michael, when is that guy coming on again? What is that guy's name? And I'm like, his name is Wing Dog. It's like, when is Wing Dog coming back? And I feel really good that you've consented to be our special guest tonight. And with everything that I have in my heart, man, I want to say thank you for being with us.
Thank you for having me. It's such a, I'm honored. I'm flattered. As a matter of fact, this is my first time ever being featured. I frequent these Log Talk shows quite frequently, and I have been asked to be a featured poet, I guess, on some of the shows, and I haven't had to, well, took advantage of the opportunity because I was busy doing other things. So this is my first time ever being a guest, featured guest, so I thank you for this wonderful opportunity and to just share my gift and share my words and just be a part of this platform. So thank you, Michael.
All right. Oh, thank you. I just want to share just a couple of words about you in terms of some of the information that I've had a chance to kind of talk with you about. Again, Gary Malone hails from Athens, Alabama. He's also an honorary member of the DC Poetry Project. He's also a well-known spoken word artist and teacher. His work is regularly acclaimed for its lyrical nature, its rawness, and its honesty. Through the art and craft of spoken word poetry, Gary has been able to capture the emotions and feelings of a number of issues, including issues that range from understanding race and class, politics, emotions and feelings and love, and, as we all sometimes experience, the heartache of life. As he stated, he's been a frequent guest on national Blog Talk radio shows, and again, he has blown people away with his unpretentious manner and style, as well as his skill and delivery of his work. So, again, we're going to have a great time tonight. So stay tuned for some great poetry. What we're going to do is come right back with Mr. Gary Malone.
Right.
everyone. As you know, we don't take long breaks. This is a show where there's no sugar added, all meat and potatoes. So here we are. We do have another guest online. Her area code is area code 301. Who's area code 301?
Hello?
Yes, area code 301.
Hi, it's me, Sophia.
Sophia, how are you? Welcome to the DC Poetry Project's Poets on Fire, Power of Poetics. Welcome. And we have one more caller. Hold on. Wow, Gary, you got some good people calling. Hold on.
Oh, wow.
Area code 858. You are on the air. Who are you, area code 858? Hello, area code 858?
Yes. Yeah, Kofi.
How are you?
I'm doing good. This is Kofi. I'm doing good. How are you doing?
Fantastic. Welcome to the Power Poetics. What we'd like to do now is to start with our guest of the hour, Mr. Gary Malone. And, Gary, we'd like you to share your works.
Oh, wow. Oh, no, I don't even know where to begin. I write so many different styles and on different subject matters.
Let me make one statement first. Please mute your phones, please, as we're starting this journey. It's kind of difficult to hear with some of the background noise, so please mute your phones as we continue, because we want to give Gary our full attention. All right. Thank you, Gary.
I think I want to open with this piece. People oftentimes ask me why I write, I think this piece sums up why I write, and that's the title of it. On white clouded backdrops between blue skylines, I write dramatic rainbows after stormy rains to release and bury my hurt, heartaches, guilt, and pains. I write to heal old wounds to soak up the bloodstains of Alex's roots and that of my ancestors, that their deaths be not in vain. Silently whispering in unmarked shallow graves, voices still may be heard. I listen quietly for the spirit of every soul injustice beat, raped, and murdered. Simply because they wanted to taste freedom again. It's by my pen their stories will never end. For I write for those that have never dreamed the American dream, the freedom that those knew about from a place both beautiful and wild, inhabited by tribes where lions roam the plains and crocodiles rule the Nile. I write as a vessel for the ideas, thoughts, and imaginations of past generations that wouldn't live to see how their invention and innovation helped shape the structure of this great and powerful nation. I write from the river of wisdom and knowledge flowing through me, my encounters with God. The ink of my pen is the Holy Spirit deep within me. For I'm Maya Angelou, Cage Bird singing Toni Morrison's Songs of Solemn, from the Mississippi Delta to the Renaissance in Harlem. I'm Richard Wright, native son. I'm Alice Walker, color purple grape. A seed from Lorraine Hansberry, raising in the sun. Fermented by pure living water running in my veins, straight off the true vine of a miracle worker that's able to turn my bitter teardrops into sweet red rhyme. I write for those innocent little girls and boys misunderstood in foster care, that have been abused and suffered around since they was in daycare. Their parents lost in the wilderness, looking for love and various drugs. The words that I write are for them. These are their kisses and hugs. And for ladies, there are romantic fairy tales to fill lonely places and erotic love letters to cheer sad, pretty faces. And for the masters, I write to men bitter hearts shattered like broken glass, to free the captives held hostage, embraced in a tormented past, waiting to cry out, "I'm free. Thank God Almighty, I'm free at last." I write to resurrect beaten down and deadbeat dads, to lead them back to their seeds and be the fathers I never had. I write for all American heroes, all American war fallen soldiers, true heroes. I salute all races, white, Hispanic, Chinese, Americans, Indians, Mexican, and Negroes. I'm honoring those that committed suicide and those killed in the Holocaust and genocide. Deep conversation, dialogue, thick as penitentiary walls, I write to represent the streets. Real talk drift from my pen to soothe like an intoxicating herbal concoction rolled in paper-thin sheets. The sun don't like me because my chocolate skin glistens like a silver star in the moonlight. I was put here and told to let my light shine, and I'm going to do so with all my might. So tell the world, don't hate me. I didn't make me. That's why I write. For I'm a poet, and for my people and our future, it's my duty to fight. See, Martin got some more sermons to preach, and Jesus got some more people to reach. I raised my fist, holding my pen, and shout out, Master, use me. Please let me teach. Because I write to educate, encourage, enlighten, entertain, and to uplift. However, most of all, I write for because from God, and I am a poet. It is my gift, and that's why I write.
That was extremely powerful. Extremely powerful. Now, what I'd like you to do, you talk about writing. When did you start writing? We know why you write. When did you start writing?
Well, it was in 2003 when I was introduced to my pastor, my current pastor, at Sweet Home Missionary Baptist Church in here in Athens. And he was such a great orator and speaker. And I wrote a lesson one night while he was one day while he was speaking, and I had started the men's ministry. He asked me to lead up the men's ministry, and I wrote a lesson, and I asked him to teach it, and he said, "Well, you wrote it, you teach it." And I told him, I said, "Man, I can barely stand in front of you and talk, let alone in front of some people." He said, "Well, I'll help you." So the next day, I come back into his office, and he showed me a little things and jotted down a piece. It was very simple, too, very simple instructions. I guess he just saw the natural talent that I already had, and he helped me. By the end of the day, I had put it together, and I taught that lesson June 20th, 2003, and I've been writing ever since.
Wow. Well, you're incredibly talented. We have another person who just signed in, area code 301. I think I may know that particular area code. Is this Angela?
It is, Michael. How you doing?
Right,
hey, Wing Dog.
Hey, how you doing, Angela? Who else on the line, Mike?
Excuse me, sir?
Who else you said that was on the line?
Well, there is Josiah. I think I always pronounce your name wrong. Please pronounce it for me so I can always get it right. Josiah. Hello, are you there?
Can you hear me? Hello, can you hear me?
Yes. Yes.
Okay, Safia.
Safia. Actually, Safia's going to be our guest. Safia is a beautiful name. She's going to be our guest on February 24th. And then we have area code 858. And your name again, please?
Yeah, this is Cookie. I'm outside this. I'm muting myself. But this is Cookie.
Cookie.
Yes.
Oh, Kofi, how are you, sir?
I'm good, man. So are you all doing?
Welcome. Great. Welcome. I'm glad you're here. Then we have area code 860. 860.
It's right.
Hi, Michael.
It's
Hello. Valerie from Maine.
Valerie calling in from Maine. That's fantastic. Wow. So, got great people on the line. So, Gary, please continue.
Oh, wow. I was flattered and honored that the people in to come out to spend the time to hear me. I'm honored. But what do you? I enjoy writing poetry, and I want to say this, Mike. I think poetry is one of the most powerful yet unexposed, underappreciated of all the arts combined. You know, the music, acting, dancing, painting. I think if poetry had a platform on the scale of what like to do the Oscars and the Grammys and Broadway, the Tonys, and just how much exposure that poets would have, you know, and can get, and how much of more of an impact we can do. So I think I want to encourage everybody that's writing to continue to write and let your poetry be a gift to impact and change, make a difference in people's lives. So it's a very powerful tool.
I agree. I think we can all say an amen to that one. All right, sir. Continue with your incredible work.
Okay, since it is Oscars it's award season. We just had the Grammys and then the Oscars coming up. I want to share this piece, and it's called Thank You, Love. And it's coming from the perspective of an award show. And a matter of fact, I'll just read it and then let y'all get the gist of it. The nominees for Best Performance in a Drama Series called Life are Gave Up on Love, Tired of Love, Committed to Love. And the winner is, first I want to thank God who is love, for without him, I wouldn't be here today. Listen up, because I got a few things to say. I want to shout out to a few of my co-stars, but first and foremost, again, I want to thank love. Thank you, Father Love, for giving me life, for being my friend and not allowing me to choose out of loneliness the wrong woman to be my wife. And thank you, Mama, for sincere, caring, tough love. Now I want to thank Miss Cheating Love for sleeping around on me. See, things could have been a lot worse for both of us had I stayed with she. I would like to thank Bitter Love for walking out and letting me go. Instead of giving and accepting forgiveness, she kept a grip on bitterness, unforgiveness, and resentment, and that's a bad combination for sure. I want to thank the winner of Best Supporting Actress who barely beat Cheating Love, Miss Lying Love, for not being true. She was very sexy, but with all the lies, I never knew the real you. I want to thank Angry Love for putting me out. All with your anger and your fussing and your cussing. She loved to argue, and she was a drama queen, no doubt. And big ups to the gold digger, honoree, materialistic love for making a brother chill. See, every time I turned around, she had a hand out wanting me to pay her bill. Trying to keep up with the Joneses, she never pursued anything on her own. And that brings me to miseducated, independent love. Thank you for the role she played so well with the I don't need a man attitude. Start sleeping with your degrees and your career, and then tell me you don't need a dude. Oh, yeah, oh, yeah. Shout out to love that keep holding on to the past. That's Bitter Love's twin. Thanks for reminding me every day what Joe, Bob, and Bill did to you. See, I knew our relationship wouldn't last. Boo, you need to learn from those bad experiences and don't be ready to judge the next man so fast. See, not all men are dogs, just like not all women are bees and hoes. Love, learn to let go of your past. Now, I would like to thank the beautiful Miss Good Love for not taking my neglect. See, when she quit me, I knew then I had a lot to learn about respect. Being secure and confident in who you are, you made me look within myself and made me see my star. You didn't fall from a game I played just to get between your legs. You knew what you wanted in a leading man. You made me wait for your prize. I damn near had to beg. Thank you, strong love, for not falling weak and for your support and having my back. You were right by my side when we was under the enemy attack. Oh, yeah, oh, yeah, I got the child, Crazy Love, Miss Crazy Love. Because of your insecure jealousy and petty ways, tripping with me for no reason, I knew then it was time to jump ship and commit treason. That's when I met Real Love, who introduced me to Real Love, my leading lady, Miss Good Love. And for that, I want to thank you, True Love. I'm committed to love, and I'm out. Thank you.
Wow. I want everybody to kind of process that, permeate over it, marinate over it. We're going to take about 5, 10 second, 20, 30 second break like we always do, and we'll come right back. Wow. My name is Michael Anthony Inger. I'd like to welcome you to the Power of Poetics. Please call in at 646-716-8754. It's a free call-in number. We are here with our very special guest, Mr. Gary Malone, and he did an incredible piece. Do we have any comments from the people who are listening? Would anybody like to share their thoughts on that piece? Wow, especially during award season. That was incredible. Anyone want to tackle it?
Hi, this is Safia. I thought that that was so creative and just so incredible how you, I mean, all the different types of love. It was almost like a journey. Like you took us on a journey, and it ended in such a positive and encouraging way. It was just like life. How you go through life and you learn and you grow and you hit bumps and then you hit this, you know, you hit your stride, and it's just beautiful. And I, you know, appreciate you for that.
Oh, well, thank you. So y'all did get the gist of it. Life is a drama series, you know, and yeah, we go through all of those emotions and all those things when we're concerned. And so I try to touch on a lot of aspects that, you know, everybody can relate to when it comes to life. So I thank you for that. Actually, that's my first time ever sharing that on Blog Talk. As a matter of fact, I wrote that in 2009. I ain't even ever shared it publicly.
Wow. Thank you for sharing.
Yes, that was incredible.
Please state your name. State your name when you make a statement, please. Is that Valerie?
Oh, this is Valerie.
Is that Valerie making a statement?
I am Valerie making a statement.
Okay, so yeah, so just please share your name first, that's all. Like, hello, this is Valerie. Please share.
Well, I'm still Valerie, and that was probably my favorite one, Gary. That was my favorite poem. That was so, I think Tapia said it. It was very creative. You took a very abstract concept, you know, love, and you melded it with awards. Crafty.
Oh, well, thank you.
Very nice. Very nice.
Thank you.
And you've been holding back on that one. That should have been on the top of the charts. That's a beautiful piece. So lyrical. Wow. And again, with the DC Poetry Project's theme for the month being Let's Get It On, the Pursuit of Life, Love, and Happiness Through the Power of Poetry, I think that fits in perfectly. Wow. Any other comments before we continue with Gary?
Yes, this is Angela. I would echo all of the comments that have been said. That was incredible, Gary. I can't even believe we have not heard that before.
Well, actually, I've been apprehensive about sharing it because I thought, well, I have confidence in my work, but I said, oh, they might think this corny name, you know, but so I just kept it to myself.
Well, thanks for sharing.
Well, like you said again, poetry needs a platform where when we feel that it's corny, it's not corny, because you're sharing your lived experience and you're putting it in a fashion that people can understand it. By taking something every day and adding something else to make it come alive. I mean, you just can't beat that. So would you continue sharing your work with us? I mean, we're already enthralled. We're sitting back. So we're here with Gary Malone.
Okay, I want to do this piece. This it is Black History Month. And I want to do this piece. It's called Why Dream. American consciousness needs a shot of no dose. Pick up its history that seemed frozen in the icy cold layers of the ozone. How soon we've forgotten allowed time to rob us of the inspiration impact of the dream. The landscape has changed. The signs are gone. Whites and colors only. Only the Jim Crow mentality has shifted from white hoods to blue uniforms and business suits and ties. Politicians suited to keep oppression tied to the poor working middle class. A class is in recess, playing hooky on some of their responsibilities, obligations, and priorities. And for some American underprivileged citizens, the dream is no longer a priority. Why haven't the dream come true? Have we lost the resolve to dream bigger dreams? Have we not the faith to pray for unselfish things? Has the community and church become a place of complacency? Has contentment been traded with the unfinished business of Malcolm X, Fannie Lou Hamer, Mega Evers, and Fred Shuttleworth? Have we forgotten the true value of our worth? Have we forgotten about two important tragic Sundays that prepared the course of a major movement? On Sunday, September 15, 1963, as an act of white supremacist terrorism, the 16th Street Baptist Church in Birmingham, Alabama was bombed. Please, please let us not forget Annie Mae Collins, Cynthia Wesley, Tara Robinson, and Denise McNair. Have we reached our goals marching from Selma to Montgomery? Are today's protesters backtracking on the same beaten down path trodden on by protesters in the 60s? On Bloody Sunday, March 7, 1965, black feet participating in civil disobedience ironically walked on Edmund Pettus, a Confederate general and a KKK grand wizard. A bridge segregating hatred and hope, injustice and justice, ignorant and true. Further separating Pharaoh's plantation and Moses' promised land. To be met with tear gas, batons big as baseball bats, bull whips and horses. Under the order of Sheriff Jim Clark, million watches bigotry trampling on a living constitution. And in the aftermath, black and white faces, sullen in horror and swollen in terror, suffered under the Eighth Amendment, cruel and unusual punishment. John Lewis, along with other Dallas County residents residing in southern Alabama, Selma and Marion, would never forget what happened Thursday, February 18, 1965, to Mr. Jimmie Lee Jackson. I ask, have we simply forgotten the dream only to settle to live in a nightmare? If so, why dream? No longer are we for the National Association for the Advancement of not just colored people, but all people. If so, then why dream? Are we comfortable taking a nap on a bed of affliction when more garden parks are needed to document the horrible tragedies occurring in our parks? Look at what happened to 12-year-old Tamir in Cleveland. Least we forget about what happened Sunday, August 28, 1955, to 14-year-old Emmett Till. Put your hands up for Sean Bell, Trayvon Martin, Michael Brown, James Chaney, Andrew Goodman, and Michael Schwerner, and tell me, who shall finish dreaming their dreams? While they're planting more trees to honor victims of social injustice in Washington, D.C. National Park, a noble gesture, however, we need more Rosa Parks to stand in protest like she did Thursday, December 1st, 1955, until America live up to its creed that all men are created equal. Have we forgot the blood, the sweat, and the tears it took to pass the Voting Rights Act in 1965? Unlike in the brilliant movie Selma, those people were not actors or extra, but yet they were extra extraordinary for being so brave to risk their lives. So do we continue on in an uninterested fashion in our voting participating performances, especially in the midterm election, and sleep snoring as a rebellion Republican tear away at our fallen heroes' legacy? Then why dream? The dream was written in black ink on white paper, broadcasted through black and white lens to black and whites alike. Yet like Crayola crayons, there's a color for every color to color it. Now answer this question out loud if you want to. When asked, why haven't the dream come true? Do you remove the sleep from your eyes and reply, what dream? What do you? No. Then are you actually part of making the dream come true? Or are you still asleep and just dreaming? But don't forget to wake up, my people, for one day the dream may need you. That's that piece.
All right. Another incredibly powerful work. Why dream, good people? Why dream? Would anybody like to share?
Well, this is Valerie, and I have a question for Gary.
Okay.
Any poems about Ruby Bridges?
About what?
Ruby Bridges.
Ruby Bridges.
Do you know who she is?
No, I do not. Enlighten me.
Okay, in November, I think it was 1960, she was the first African-American girl to have to go to a desegregated school.
What state?
I'm not sure, but my point is both you and her are very brave.
Wow, why you say that?
You write great stuff, Gary. You rip the lid off stuff, and you say, look at this. Look at the injustices here. It's one thing you said that really stuck with me. It's the national advancement of all people.
Oh, wow. Yes, I think we lose sight of when we just concentrate, because God created the human race. And I think I must say isms and schisms, just one race ism, it segregates and divides us. So Dr. King had a dream, and that dream was not just for African American, but he dreamt that dream for all Americans. So if we could all tap into it, that's why that line I say, if we all could color, even though the dream was written in black and white, but we could all got a part to play in it. We could all put our color to it. So I'm a profound advocate of that, uplifting everybody, I'm a black man, I'm proud to be one, but I also want to encourage all people.
Yes.
Well, there's a beautiful painting of Ruby Bridges when she integrated the schools in New Orleans, and it was called The Problem We All Live With, and it's by Norman Rockwell, and it shows a little black girl being escorted to school by U.S. Marshals. So the painting is entitled The Problem We All Live With, by Norman Rockwell, and depicts Ruby Bridges, and she was 6 years old, and she heads into school.
I'm going to have to check it out. Thank you for enlightening me, Valerie.
You are welcome.
Right. Well, hello, everybody. We'll be right back. My name is Michael Ingram. I'd like to welcome you to the Power of Poetics. Our special guest is Mr. Gary Malone. As you see, that break was a little bit longer because I personally needed some time to kind of process and to think. Please give us a call at 646-716-8754 and share your thoughts. I was just thinking about Ruby Bridges and some of the other names that you called there, Gary, that I did not know, because there's so many people who've contributed to our history, to all of our history, that it's so difficult to keep up with all the names, so many unsung heroes that helped change the face of America, to help change the face of America. And to me, that's why poetry is so important, because it gives you an opportunity to talk about those heroes, those people that we've never heard of. Those people, those aunts, those uncles, those cousins, those sisters, those grandmothers, those grandfathers who helped change who we are and whose shoulders we stand on. So, again, I want to thank you for sharing that piece, and I want to thank Valerie for bringing up Ruby Bridges, because it all helps us learn. So, Gary, please continue.
All right. I'm going to try to lighten the mood up a little bit. I'm going to change this, flip it over. This is Valentine. Put a little Valentine's. Hello?
Hello? Yes. Yes, can you hear me?
I hear you now.
Yes, yeah. You said you're going to put a Valentine's spin on it, Gary? Please do so.
Okay, this piece is called A Cinderella's Retreat. No, I'm going to go another way. I'm going to go another way right quick. I'll get to that. I ain't going to tell you the name of this. I'm just going to go into this. The way she's two-stepped to me, I was thinking she danced with such precision and intense intimacy. She made Harlem shake. Picture perfect. She was a picture filled with perfection. Framed and hung as a crystal clear mental mirror, a marvelous mural marvel I so admirably admired. And I studied her as if she was a thick textbook. Intrigued, I yearned to know her history, for she was a subject I wanted to form many verbs with. Talk, listen, look, dance, romance, sleep, hold, kiss, and lick. Oh, you get my drift? And speaking of drift, she was cool as a breeze sailing through the canopy of a tropical rainforest. And like rain, she wet my vibe and drenched my spirit and saturated my mind. With her drizzling, dazzling disposition and her imbued, sparkling personality, this TLC tender loving chick was a cascading waterfall that I was chasing. Caught up, I fell for her heart. Her reality was beyond surreal. I named her Moscato Chardonnay, and sweet wine popped my cork when I popped her cherry. Like two missionaries, we made it a mission to explore as many positions that wasn't missionary. Far from ordinary, but very necessary. Imagine imageries of an imaginary fairy princess. This girl, she shattered the figment of my imagination. Classier than Cinderella, more colorful than Snow White, sexy like Cleopatra and tempting like Bathsheba and deceptive as Delilah, yet she was compassionate and beautiful as Rachel. Full and vibrant as a full moon. And every time I think of her, she changed my mood. Shot by Cupid's love-filled spears, this Shakespeare Juliet shook this Romeo spear. And I can count 1, 2, 3 reasons she was better than foreplay. My sweetest taboo, I want to chill with Miss Sade and cherish the days when daydreaming of her. Only I find myself waking, drowning in a seaside wet dream, where she was just a mental reality. She is my favorite fantasy.
That was wonderful.
Did I tease you?
What made it wonderful?
This is Anastasia. I like the way he just read it. It just kind of drew you in, and it was seductive to me.
Yeah, I tried to put a seductive little delivery on it to tease you all. But yeah, the whole time I was talking about my fantasies. I got a series of poems that I call Abstract Women. It's where I took different things and I gave them the persona of a woman. For instance, wisdom, my conscience. And I got a whole series of that I morphed, and I'm excited about that. And it's just been fun doing that.
Well, I mean, I can tell that you've really take pleasure and enjoyment in terms of pulling out people and names from history to weave into your poems. I mean, I find that an admirable quality to be able to do that. I mean, not everyone can do that. So I think that's great. Any other comments?
This is Valerie.
Valerie,
please. I'm very interested to read your women, the poems you have. I don't want to call it a
women
group, but do you have a website, Gary?
No, I don't. Unfortunately, I only in cyberspace. I'm only on Facebook.
Oh, okay, that's okay.
Yeah, but when I did this series, I will put it out there, some of it anyway, excerpts of it, but I would like to get that published as a series. And,
I would love it. I would love to see that. That
it's been like
great.
It's been extra journey writing that. I have another piece I want to share. If it's okay,
oh,
Mike.
Please. Yes, it is.
This is. This is still on. We still on. I'm still on some. This is called a Cinderella's Retreat. Now, I often heard that beauty is only skin deep. If this is true, then your silky soft skin is like sexy lingerie that I can see straight through, exposing your tender yet fragile heart, oozing pain from your head to your feet. Nonetheless, your beauty makes my heart skip a beat. Makes Reuben stutter and leaves me speechless. Warm and gentle, you must sweat, honey, because not just because you're so sweet, or because you make my soul hum. And like a humming bee, your beauty has stung me. Now, I heard you left Romeo at the altar hanging. You said no to Casanova, for you haven't found a man yet that'll love you better than Jehovah. Tell me, miss, are your standards too high, or is my aim too low? Married to your career after choosing the wrong mate, or should I say date, men that were created in the image of God but act more like the beast, wild, reckless, and carefree. They know what a dress is, but not a lady. Vindictive, manipulative, articulate, intellectual, thuggish, devilish, clever fellas. Wolves and sheep shun John Attar that violated your trust, raped your understanding, took advantage of your innocence, and assaulted your finances. They abuse your love, leaving another ebony Cinderella on a dark street with one glass stiletto to raise little boo-boo all alone, angry, bitter, unselfish, and unloved. Now an abusive past got you trapped in a time warp, traveling backwards, confused to see if it's your sun set in the east and rise in the west. You are a rose with no petal trying to pacify a thorn in the flesh. Now, I'm not the cure. Now, I am not the cure, but I have got a prescription for your love-starved heart. And right now, I would not dare suggest I want to sex you up. But give me a time and chance and a date to start. See, climb on board and soar with me. High in the sky, I want you to fly. Let me make a cameo appearance and put that sparkle back in your eye. While you forget about all the times that beast made you cry. Make a conscious decision to slowly get to know me. Trust me. Respect me for who I am. You feel me? And then let me satisfy you completely. Revive you spiritually. Stimulate you mentally. And caress you physically. Build you back up emotionally. You can call me Mr. Fresh Perspective. Girl, a diamond you are. I want to mine you. Cut, hold, polish, and define you. Then just sit there and watch. Just watch you shine. And like the star on top of the White House Christmas tree during the holiday time, my pretty Cinderella enter into my very special retreat. This place called this romantic rehab facility. It's here I help you adopt a new mentality and lighten up your personality. Teddy said, close the door and come on over to my place. See, I read your face like a book that you can log off. Now, welcome to my space. After seven, ready or not, night and day, I'll be sure to check on you. And there's love in this club, and the ushers at the door anxious to wait on you. And if one is not enough, or if it isn't love, then I'll be your new addition. Sit back and please relax your pretty brown eyes so they will be in mint condition. And then you can listen as Bishop Jake mentors divine counseling to help you reposition. And then later, Dr. Marvin will come by and deliver some sexual healing. But for now, my earth angel, by candlelight, let Calgon take you away. And allow Maxwell to serenade you and soak your pretty wings, while Eric massage your smooth chocolate legs, and then after which he'll sing. And then Mr. Kelly will come over and pour honey love all over your brown skin, dark and lovely in the moonlight. Ooh, I see you glistening. Now let me whisper in your ear and impregnate your mind with my poetic flow. And as your eyes water break, your heart will give birth to joy forevermore. And I agree with music. You are so beautiful, my soul child. And please, please, please don't cry. Dry your eyes. I put on Serene and Angela and restore your smile. And then we can dance with Keith till you sweat, almost soaking wet. And that's when I step up and you can give me that butter love like next. But here, right now, I'm your very own personal genie that I give you more than three wishes. But respect the power of love and tell me what you want with no second guessing. And then we'll both take Luke's advice and with love, let love turn your house into a home. And then when you turn that key, girl, you won't ever be alone. Now, baby girl, never again give the beast too much of your time or your mind. And bypass those haters. Continue to press forward, stopping only to unwind. Now, it's almost midnight, my precious Cinderella. And before I let you go, on a black street, here, I found your other glass, stiletto. That's my piece. Happy Valentine's Day, ladies.
Love it.
Now look, this is a PG-13 rated show. This is not a rated X show. This is not rated X up in here. I'm gonna throw some cold holy water out there somewhere. You a bad boy. You bad, Gary. You bad, man. You bad. What's that last line about the stiletto? Say that one more time. What you say?
Last stiletto.
On a black street.
Let Gary say it.
I know.
Did y'all get the musical reference I woven in there?
Yes.
Did y'all hear the musical
all
reference?
Of them.
Mint condition. Renee and Angela.
Right. I know. Even had Keith and Jason there. I'm like, wow.
Man, you are a bad. You're a bad man. That's all
wow.
I can say. You're a bad man. Good people, please call in to number 646-716-8754. We are enjoying the poetry of Mr. Gary Wingdog Malone. He is on the air. Do you have another one for us, Gary? I mean, you got us on a roll now, my friend.
I do. I'm gonna flip the strip once again, because you already said it was all love. What's the theme? I'm trying to touch on bases along with showing you my versatility.
All right. The theme is the pursuit of life, love, and happiness through poetry.
Okay. Life, love, and happiness through poetry.
And honestly, that could be anything, my friend. That could be anything.
Yeah, that's true. As you know, I like writing stories. Let me take you on this surreal adventure.
All right, everybody, close your eyes.
This one ain't like this piece, Mike.
Grab the Bible. Go ahead.
Now this is on another level. Okay, I'm gonna do another change this once again. Flip the strip again. This is called a surreal tourist adventure. Having decided to take a walk around the moon, only to end up sitting at the bottom of the Grand Canyon. See, from the top of the moon, I was too high to look down. Lifted up by pride and standing on a rocky pedestal, a rebellious spirit was my sole companion. And for what I thought, I was ingenious and better than everybody else. Yet I was terribly ingenuous to think that I didn't need anyone else. Until I stepped in a crater and fell and broke my ego. A holy conviction reached down and grabbed me and it would not let me go. Saving me only to take me on a personal journey through hell. And like a tourist on tour, what tourist attraction we didn't visit. Like the National Museum of Drugs and Alcohol. Boy, was an experience. then the infamous amusement park of temptation and lust, loaded with all sorts of sexual attraction, and did I ride. I jumped from one curvy, sexy roller coaster to another. Then we strolled the historic trail of abuse and neglect. Was it anything pleasant about the scenery? It was all kind of mean, wild adult predators and pedophiles hiding amongst poison oak and ivy, pretending to be harmless and friendless. Then on to the National Monument of Heartache and Pain, and then to the Library of Science exhibit on sickness and death. And after leaving that, do I really need to express how I felt? For a little more excitement, we went window shopping at the Great Mall of America's Attitude and Emotions. Stores filled with false advertising and lies, bitterness, angry, unforgiveness, and hate-inspired outfits. With me being fresh out of humility gear, shamefully I admit I tried on a few pieces. Having endured one state of tribulation to the next, confused and spinning around this big, dizzy world, Mickey Mouse is nowhere to be seen. Only Snow White, an angel of light, and her dangerous seven drawers of deadly sin. Lust, my favorite one, kept smiling and trying to befriend me. At Galatians 5 and 19, sinful nature, zoo and aquarium, I was amazed at all the untamed creatures behaving like backbiting fools and whoremongers and adulterers, drunks and murderers, participating in idolatry, wild parties, envy and jealousy, strife and witchcraft, heresy, division, and sort of other immoralities and impurities. Then I asked the zookeeper, who had this cold, scaly skin in the face of a serpent, I said, why are they begging me to feed them? With scorn in his snake eyes, he replied, well, maybe they remember when you used to enjoy feeding your own sinful nature. Maybe you should be caged up in here, too. He laughed with a sly grin. It's a disgusting job feeding these wild animals. But, hey, somebody got to do it. I thought, what a mean old devil. Let's hurry up, and we moved on to the Art Institute of Inspiration and Happiness, a gallery displaying rare masterpieces of love, joy, peace, and faith. And, man, I was truly inspired. Then we visit a wondrous three-rock formation called the Way, the Truth, and the Life. And when sightseeing at the Botanical Garden of Eden, wow, 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 what a beautiful paradise. Did I just see visual snapshots of heaven? And after noticing I was growing tired from all the excitement, my holy host asked, Gary, are you ready to continue our adventure? Or do you need to take a rest break? If so, I know the perfect place. And that's how I ended up here. After that short walk on the moon, I'm happy to be sitting at the bottom of the Grand Canyon. See, from here, at least I can always look up to the hills from which cometh my help. Amen.
Wow. I'd like to ask the people on the line, and Gary, I want you to stay quiet for a second. What do you think makes Gary's work so different? I've been trying to wrestle with what is it that makes, I don't know, it's just so different. What is it? What is the quality? What brings it together? It's kind of like a tapestry, like someone with a quilt, creating a quilt. What is it? And Gary, you be quiet. What is it, good people, that makes his work so magical? Anyway.
This is Valerie. They're almost like pictures. Like especially, you know, Cinderella's Retreat and the one that we just heard, they're very, it's like painting almost. Like you said, it's a tapestry. I can see these images. I don't know if that makes it different or not. Some people don't write in a visual sort of way, but I think Gary does.
Right. Anyone else?
Yeah, I would agree. This is Angela. He does a very nice job of weaving history, just pieces of, and I don't know if I would even call it history, but I mean, yes, history, but just the way he weaves artists in, and it's like he's also pouring his soul. Like his work is not just, it's not just kind of sitting at a surface. He goes deep. Like he takes you deep, but he weaves in pieces from our history, music, artists, like real people, real names, real lives. Even if he doesn't give some of the people that he's talking about a particular name, but he makes them so real, as if you're sitting around a table, drinking tea, talking about, having a conversation with him. And it's really incredible.
It is incredible. It is. I mean, for me, I don't know why I see a grandmother pulling patches together to make a quilt. I mean, pieces of, like I said, pieces of history. This came from a dress. This came from a skirt. This came from this. But when you pull it all together, it is just so beautiful, the what's been created. I mean.
Yes, I would totally agree.
Gary, you have a gift, my friend.
Hello? Hi, this is Anastasia.
Yes.
I really like the whole storytelling, and as Michael said, pulling all these pieces together, and it's a little bit of your history, your political. I seem like I went to church a little bit with him, and I also, truth, and reality, and right now, history and what's in the present and what's in the past, so he could take us through this journey. And he gave life to it, and he helped. He draws in, and we all kind of feel it and understand, that every little piece comes together, perfectly at the end.
Wow.
Yeah, and you make us think. It's not just. It's I was just looking at a post that Common, or somebody put on Facebook, and Common was he was speaking to the fact that people are calling him a conscious artist, and he described that at first he didn't like the fact that people were boxing him in, and then when he looked up examples of conscious artists like Bob Marley and Bob Dylan, he was like, I like that. I'm conscious. And that's part of what you do. When I listen to your pieces, you go deep, and you leave me thinking. You take me on this journey, and I'm thinking as I'm going along with you. But it's some impact at the end that oftentimes you surprise me, and it just leaves me like, wow. Like, I'm speechless. Like, Michael's like anybody, and my mouth is wide open because I'm like, wow. Like, awesome.
Yeah, I
have something
to say,
but I don't
know what
to say.
I've been
so strong.
Hey,
I don't know what to say.
I'm completely humbled.
Anybody, somebody take over, please.
I am
know what to say.
Humbled by all the wonderful comments. I thank you. I want to say, my Facebook post was today, is a pen is to a poet as a camera is to a photographer. We capture the moment and paint the picture with words, and then we call it poetry. And I think that's what I do, and I think I do best. And I thank God for my gift. I capture what I find, and I paint it, and I put it on paper, and that's the end result of it. It's nothing but gift. So first of all, I want to thank God. I give Him all the honor and all the glory for my gift. Because sometimes I even be perplexed and amazed, and then all after I put the better piece away, where did this come from? So I thank you all for the wonderful comments, and I'm so humbled. I'm so humbled, and I thank you all.
Well, let's give Gary a round of applause for being our featured poet tonight. He really, a round of applause, Gary. You are the man. We'll be right back.
Yay!
Hold on, hold on.
All right, great job, great job. Thank you for sharing.
Thank you. Thank you, Mike, for having me.
Oh, yeah, not a problem. Everyone, I want to thank you so much for joining us, and I want to thank our very special guest, Gary Malone, all the way from Athens, Alabama, who treated us tonight with some incredible, incredible work. I want to say thank you again, Gary, and hopefully you continue to join us and to continue to spread your gift wherever you go. You're an incredible poet, and the world needs to hear you. As we close, good people, what I'd like to do is to reach out to one person. One of our loyal listeners lives in Lahore, Pakistan, and he's a dedicated listener, and his name is Muhammad Ajmal Chaudhry. And again, Ajmal hails from Lahore, Pakistan, and he listens to our show on a regular basis. And so what I'd like to do as we close is to recite a piece of poetry written by famed Urdu poet Ahmed Faraz. And Urdu is a beautiful and musical form of poetry which allows a person to express their deepest feelings related to love and life through words, as which we're able to hear Gary do tonight. So again, this is dedicated to our listener in Pakistan. And hopefully he's out there listening, because this is for him. And it's called I Cannot Remember. And it's a loose translation by Michael R. Birch. I once was a poet too. You gave life to my words, but now I cannot remember. Since I have forgotten you, my love, my art too I cannot remember. Yesterday, consulting my heart, I learned that your hair, lips, mouth, I cannot remember. In this city of the intellect, insanity is silence. But now your sweet, spontaneous voice is fluidity I cannot remember. Once I was unfamiliar with wrecking balls and ruins, but now the cultivation of gardens I cannot remember. Now everyone shops at the store selling arrows and quivers, but neglects his own body, the client he cannot remember. Since time has brought me to the desert of such arid forgetfulness, even your name may perish I cannot remember. In this narrow state of being, lacking a country, even the abandonment of my fellow countrymen, I cannot remember. And although that poem may seem like it's a downer, it's so important to remember, as long as we can, the possibilities that love, life, and the pursuit of happiness will bring us. Good night, everyone, and let poetry ring.
Let poetry ring. Good night.